episode 13 of the iHeart Running Podcast. So do you guys like the girls grind? How about doing it 13 times in one day? Well, my next guest, Daniel Leung, not only completed the multi-grind challenge this year, beating out his namesake Daniel Sedin, he just completed his first ultra yesterday, the Squamish 50K. What's amazing about Daniel's accomplishments is that he just started running in 2017, and not without a lot of gentle persuasion from his friends, including me. Daniel and I met at the gym, and we quickly became gym buddies, and the next thing you know, he is literally getting lost in the trails. We still joke about how Daniel went from missing runner to trail run leader, which he is now for the Ice Cream and Donut Run Club Trail Edition. Daniel's journey is an interesting one. Not because of the crazy things he's done, but because he is just a guy who started running one day and fell in love with it and the running community. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hey, Daniel. First of all, congratulations on completing Squamish 50, and thank you for agreeing to be a guest on my podcast. Good afternoon. How are you feeling?
Yeah, feeling not too bad. Thank you for having me today, but yeah, just recovering from this weekend and from yesterday.
Only a few hours ago. I hope you got to sleep in a little bit this morning.
Yeah, definitely got actually a good night's sleep. So that definitely helped in the recovery, and even a surprise on race day too, how well I actually slept, or how I got a decent sleep too.
Well, that's great. And for those who don't know, Daniel is joining us. He just finished his first ultra marathon, Squamish 50, just a few hours ago in Squamish, Sunday. So we're recording on a Monday afternoon. And I'm the first to chat with Daniel about his race. So thank you for chatting with me. I would love to hear all about your experience, and I'll let you do the talking. So I guess you did really well. I think your time was 8:07. Sorry if I'm wrong. It was somewhere around there.
Yeah, my time was like just around 8:04.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, definitely a surprise definitely by my time and just like how well I did, especially for first time doing an ultra marathon. But, you know, I think what I did in the past, as in a month and a half ago, was doing the multi grind and just putting training in, definitely paid off, and doing some training runs on the course too, just helped me to know what was coming.
Wow, you totally killed it. I saw you at Far Side, and for those who don't know, that's about 40 kilometers in, so you're almost near the end, and you looked like you were having a great time. So I was wondering what would happen after the last 10K, and also you finished really strong. So we would love to hear about your training, and I guess we'll start there. You also train for this ultra. How do you approach your training? Do you have a training plan, or did you get advice from friends? What did you do? What do you feel helped you in your success in this first ultra marathon?
Definitely like advice from friends, and just like from other people who've done ultras, knew kind of what I had to do and the kind of work that I had to put in, especially if I, you know, getting the time on feet, making sure I'm getting some like a decent amount of elevation gain, because it just helps with physical and mental too, especially when the climbs feel like they're endless and go on forever and then forever. I find that just helps you on race day for what's to come.
Did you follow an actual training plan, or did you a multi-grind challenge?
So that's a good question. Yeah, I didn't really follow a training plan. Nothing like really structured. This was fun. I looked at ChatGPT to see like even what it said, just to give it a layout. But like, since I have done races before and marathons before, I kind of knew going in what needed to be done, and what kind of training I need to put in, and how I just need to build myself out to like a certain mileage, or just to build up the mileage, and make sure I take the rest weeks too. So that's one thing. Between the multi grind that was like, I think a month and a half ago to Squamish 50, that timeline, I just knew that, okay, like I don't have like 4 months here. I got like a month and a half. Just got to be aware of the time I have and where I'm at physically. And training plan may not look ideal, but make sure I take at least one down week or two, so I feel like fresh on race week.
And what was the longest distance? I know you completed a few marathons, but on the trails, what was the longest distance other than a multi-grind challenge before this race?
I think longest distance I've done probably around 40K on this on the trails, for a run. For this training plan, longest run I did was like 35K, and it was around just over 1,000 meters elevation gain. So yeah, that was just good time on feet. At the same time, like physically too, it was good.
And I know you did some training runs on the actual course with other runners who were doing a race. And I think, do you feel that helped you a lot in terms of mentally preparing for your race yesterday?
Yeah, so definitely, yeah, that was beneficial doing some recon on the course. As like I'll look back, I remember you and I did an orientation run together.
Yes.
and at that time was not definitely did not have the fitness for, I think it was 30 or 35K. so it was good to do some more course like kind of orientation because a lot of it, I was like, oh, okay, I remember this from previously or before. And just get it was good to get familiarized with where everything was and what was to come. But it was really great to do with other people. I know you have had Janine on here before, so it was great for her to organize a couple orientation runs.
She's such a runner. She's quite knowledgeable, and as you know, she trains with Janelle, so I think she has the knowledge of what to do for Squamish 50, and she must have been a great training partner for you.
Yeah, definitely. Just organizing the orientation runs alone, and then just talking about, oh, like, with other people who even done it, even our friend Justin, just about, where, the climbs are and what to expect on course, was this beneficial and knowing what's going to come next and, oh, where's the bigger climbs and like where the aid stations will be. It was just helpful to plan everything on race day.
Were there any big surprises during your race yesterday?
I guess nothing too big of a surprise, especially since I feel like Squamish 50 is pretty well known in the running community. So it's like just watching videos or talking about it with anybody, you just get a good idea of what to expect, and what's to come. So I find that was didn't throw any like surprises to me because I knew what the second half of the course is going to look like and how I may feel. Even as I look back on race day, when like on races, you meet a lot of people, and some people are like from out of town are asking me, oh, what's the race going to be like? Or like, what's the kind of terrain that to expect, right? So yeah, I didn't feel like there was that any surprises on the course to me. Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. I haven't actually completed the Squamish 50, any of the races actually. You mentioned it because I think it's a good foreshadowing that I remember asking you if you would go to Squamish with me so we can get an orientation run for fun. And I like to propose spontaneous, crazy things, and you're like, sure, let's. And I knew on that day, if you're willing to tackle something that you never completed before, you would do so well during the actual. I had no doubt. So, congratulations. And yesterday when I saw you, like I said, you look so strong. And you I think a lot of it's in mental aspects of it. So you seem so positive, and you still carry that with you. Do you feel that's what got you through the race? Do you face any, you could say, obstacles or difficult or challenging? Do you have any moments in a race when you did have any doubts, or do you feel that you were positive your whole entire race and you didn't feel that it was something that you could not complete?
I think during the race, I knew I was able to complete the race. It's just a matter of what time I'll complete it in. I knew I was able to complete the day and have if I followed well with my nutrition, it will be an even better day, and I feel way would feel better. And then I say, yeah, even like the mental part, yeah, definitely. I know, like, once you hit, like, I don't know, quest, or when you leave quest, you're halfway, and kind of essentially, I see it as like the race is starting then when you're halfway or 35K in, especially when your body may be aching a bit or getting tired. I just know that with that is you just gotta stay focused and just keep going. And keep moving essentially to like the next aid station or to the next area where, to just like reset and gather yourself.
I know you, like as you mentioned, you did an 804. Did you have a goal in mind when you set out to do it, or did you talk to friends and ask them, okay, what do you think is a good estimate for a first timer like me? How would you pace yourself for the entire race?
Yeah, so time-wise, I was hoping around something around probably 8 or 8:30. That's what was like a goal of mine. Just from what I've heard from other people and how they have done, at the same time, how my training runs have gone, and other races are done earlier in the season, where like, okay, like if I'm efficient at aid stations, and efficient in my timing, then I know that those are areas where I can cut down time, and like be quicker in the day. Especially when I went to, like, I stopped to think, yeah, all the aid stations, and I spent like probably less than like 3 minutes there because I knew what I needed, and I didn't want to linger around too long because I know like I was just like, maybe just sit down and then be like, oh, I'm gonna stay here for 15 minutes and not leave.
I noticed at far side they had a nice setup with lots of chairs and they sat down. So that's kind of interesting. I guess once you sit down, you may get a little bit too comfortable.
And as you saw, probably at Farside, I was kind of like focused and I knew what I needed, right?
You look
Like there was water, like I need a water. I grab a few things and I was out. Because I just know that the longer I linger is like the longer maybe the body like tenses up and then it's harder to move or start again.
What was your nutrition plan? You mentioned nutrition a few times. Do you feel that played a big
Yeah, definitely. So I find the nutrition wise, I drank like what I usually drink on my runs, I drink Tailwind. And I find that's just helpful because it provides me with water, at the same time, electrolytes that I need, and it gives me enough calories. And then usually I'll take like a gel or maybe have like a waffle. And then I'll eat like a little bit of solid food. And even halfway, I had sushi. Because I know sometimes I get hungry, so this that was helpful in this changing up the taste at the same time getting something a little bit more solid in me was definitely helpful.
Yeah, it looks like everything just went smoothly. Do you have any memorable moments, favorite parts of the race that sticks out in your mind?
Oh yeah, I guess definitely I look back on yesterday because I feel like some of it was a blur because so much has gone on and you forget parts. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, you forget parts, because if you do the race again you're like, oh, I was like, oh yeah, I remember this, or I don't remember this section of the trail. But I say definitely at the beginning it was great to like see everybody Like everyone doing the race, the community of people who are like of the community of runners essentially coming together, and sharing the trail with them on race day too. And this meeting people too, like as I said earlier, meeting people who are like out of town. That was like great to this chat with people, especially when you're hiking up the hill,
Yeah.
getting to hear a little bit about people's story. At the same time, to get to know other people. And then at Quest, it was great to see my sister, my brother-in-law, my nephew and niece. They came out, so it was great to see them. My nephew had a sign for me, so I was like really, I find that was like a this is a special moment to see family. Even at towards the end, they were there too. And then yeah, get to see other friends like you there. And a couple other people on course. So it was great just to have, I could say, yeah, this like all those moments, this helps so much on race day. At the same time, the lead up to race day, as in all the training, those I find are all the special moments. Even like doing the orientation run, with other people, just like creating memories on along the way to the celebration of the race.
Well, I love how you described that because I guess we focus so much on the race itself and we forget that leading up to this whole moment, it's not just one day, it's months of training with friends and chatting about the race day. And I think that's formed part of the memory. And like you said, it's a celebration. I like what you said there. And I like how your family was there to be part of it. Even though they weren't running, they were still a big part of your moment. And that's so nice that they were there and they were able to support you.
Yeah, especially leading up to the race. It's so funny how you bump into other people who are runners at like some random events. They're like, oh, you're doing Squamish 52 or you're doing this race. And then on course you see them or like the person's ahead of you, so you don't see their face and you're talking with them. And they turn around and you're like, oh, hey, you're Daniel. Like I saw you a couple of weeks ago. That's one thing. It's great to see like the community of that and just getting to know people and this like the places where you least expect to see people you meet.
Do you get to run with anyone during a race, or were you kind of soloing it most of the time?
During the race I was like running with people at the beginning because it was like a good pack, especially going up the Galactic. It just like a steady climb. And then during the race, I find there was people where you'll see them for a bit, and then you come to aid station, and then depending how long you are there for, maybe you'll see them later on in the race. So it was kind of like later in the race, there was parts where it's just me. I was just me on the trail. I'm like, oh, there's no one here. And then you'll see like people come and go. And then yeah, so it's great to just like kind of meet so many different people along the route, and getting to know people.
And would you do this again? Are you already thinking about your next ultra?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I think I'll probably sign up for another ultra. I got a good feeling I will because after this experience, I just felt like I felt like pretty good on the race. And I like trail running better than road running. And there's a variety. But I don't know, I'm not sure what like my next race or what I'll do. Probably do something like next year. I was just listening to Janine's podcast and I think you interviewed her like almost a year ago, I think, after her Squamish 50. And she was already looking at other races, like I think a week later.
She's very determined, and she's done this race many times. So I think she's one of our, I guess, local inspirations. She's always talking about the trail running community, training, and I think she's inspired a few of us, including you, it sounds like. But we may be seeing you somewhere, and I guess it, who knows, maybe Squamish again, could be maybe the 50 miler or a different race, and I don't know. I guess move on to the, we mentioned multi-grind challenge, and for those who don't know, do you want to tell us about that? And I think that was in June, right?
Yeah, so the multi-grind consists of going up the Grus Grind, which is in North Van, on Grus Mountain. It's 2.5 kilometers in distance. I think it's about 700 meters again, or just over.
Yeah.
So you calculate that, put that in the math. It's pretty like it's a straight up trail, and then you go up it, and then you take the tram down. And this event always runs with during the time of summer solstice. So it's a long stay. So it started at 4 a.m. and goes till 10 p.m. So essentially you can do it as many times as you want. That's why they call it the multi-grind challenge. And every year this event is usually they have a beneficiary. So this year was like North Shore Rescue. So yeah, it's something that I signed up for and did not know what to expect, just like Squamish 50. Did not know what I was like, what to expect out of my body and how I would do. So yeah, it was definitely a long day because it was 18 and a half hours for me. Did 13 grinds, and that equivalent to like 10,500 meters of elevation gain. But yeah, doing that event definitely helped me to set up of where I was at, maybe physically, and this like mentally of just doing a long day out for Squamish 50.
What motivated you to sign up? And for those who don't know, the grind is grueling. I think for most people, just doing it once in a day, a week is already enough. And I can say that because I just did it this morning. I thought about you and your 13 grinds. I'm thinking, oh wow, how does anyone want to do this over and over? I think mentally I would love to do a multi-grind, but 13 is insane. So, what made you want to sign up other than I guess the charitable aspect of it?
I always thought of doing this event because I've seen other people have completed this event. And I was like, oh, that I just thought it would be like that would be a good challenge to see how many I can do in a day. And it I feel like it's a different type of physical fitness because like with running, like even road races or trail is like in a way a longer distance and running is like harder impact on your body. So like the grass grind was the impact wise was much less. So that's why I think I was able to sustain throughout the day.
You make it look so easy. And for those who don't know, Daniel beat the other Daniel, Daniel. And I think that's your claim to fame because I think how many did Daniel do? 13? No, he did
Yeah.
seven or something.
Yeah, so Daniel Sedin, I think he did 11.
Oh,
And
okay.
I did 13 that day. I took the full 18 and a half hours.
That's great. So I think Daily Hive should have interviewed you, not Daniel. The other, I hope maybe I don't think Daniel Sedin is listening to my podcast, but you did more than an elite athlete. This would you do it again next year?
Yeah, so I know a few people who mentioned like, oh, to me that they may be interested in doing it, with me, and I think it I already had it in my mind. I think it would be something I would do next year, and maybe hopes to do more than 13, especially since I after doing it once, I got a better idea of just like the whole challenge itself, what works for me, what maybe are areas that I could have like if I wanted to do better that I could just improve on, and I see it as I don't know just like I don't know different type of challenge than like a trail race.
Which was harder, the multi-grind challenge or Squamish 50?
Well, that's a yeah, so a few people have asked me that already. What was harder? I say it's hard to compare because they're two different types of events. like the multi grind and the Squamish 50, as in the multi grind is, I feel like, mentally challenging. Yes, physically, but mentally, because essentially you're doing laps, right? And you're like, you get to the top, you're like, oh, like I'm done, or you're like almost done, right? And then Squamish 50, I felt like it was just, what was tough about it, if you compare it to the multi grind, it's like a harder impact on your body because you're running the downhills, right? And that like just shreds up your quads, or yeah. So it's hard to compare like what was more challenging, but definitely multi grind in that sense was a way longer day if you go for the full day. Keep in
Time on
mind.
that's a lot of time on feet. And I think I looked at your splits. They were pretty even. What was the average time per grind that you did?
Yeah, so I look back, average time was just over an hour.
Wow.
So I was able to sustain some consistency, which I was surprised by, especially since I didn't know what to expect. But I think the break on the tram was definitely helpful in just getting nutrition and just resting for a bit before going on another lap of the grass grind.
So that was about 13 hours of solid climbing then. That's crazy. It was longer than Squamish 50.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it's time on feet wise, yeah, for sure. But I guess Squamish 50, the day itself was pretty long, as in like getting to Squamish, getting ready, and then everything was pretty long in general.
Did you drive up the morning of for Squamish? You didn't stay in Squamish.
No, yeah, I didn't. I decided not to stay in Squamish. I just drove up the day of. It was just easier, logistics wise, and kind of one less thing to think about, especially just to relax at home the day before and to eat like my own food or food that I want to eat, than having to go out to maybe a restaurant or grocery store to buy everything in Squamish. And yeah, it worked out well for me. It was unsure, kind of unsure about how the day before would work, or just like, getting up essentially at 3 a.m. for a 6:15 a.m. start. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a big, I think, for a lot of races, especially destination races. This is kind of a bit of a destination race. I guess it's close enough, but yet it's far enough that you have to get there. And it's always that big question of, do you stay overnight? Do you drive the day of? And what, I guess, it's what works for you. But those are good points. So you mentioned being your own bed, I guess, and eating what you are comfortable with and familiar with. And for you, so I guess that's a good takeaway. You don't always have to stay there in a hotel or in an Airbnb or something.
Yeah, definitely the sleeping aspect. I was like, oh, I know usually I don't sleep well before race day. I don't think so anyone does. But that's one thing. I was like, if I'm not going to sleep at all or any or barely any, I might as well at least stay at home to see maybe if I get a bit of sleep. And I did. I actually woke up at 3 a.m. and I was like, oh, I actually slept. And I was like, I feel decent right now, which definitely helped to start the day well. And that like this made a big difference on how I was going to perform on race day.
Yeah, and both, I guess that multi-grind challenge was pretty early too. Do you practice in mornings, or are you naturally an early morning person?
Yeah, usually early morning person in general, especially since I go to sleep a little bit earlier, or I just have a schedule of going to sleep early in general. As I think as sometimes as runners do, the weekends we gotta go to sleep at a reasonable time so we can get up for like a run in the morning that
Yeah.
may be like 4 or 5 hours long. But even on the multi-grind, I look back, I woke up the same time as Squamish. For Squamish 50, so that kind of gave me an idea of what maybe I needed to just change up, or like to eat earlier, or to go sleep earlier. So I felt a bit decent on race day for a Squamish.
Well, you said you're smart runner, and I get to my next question. Don't know Daniel. You haven't been running your entire life. Not seriously, I guess. When did you start running, and how did that start?
Oh, I think it started in 2017. You may know, better than me. 'Cause I started running when I guess initially I went to a gym where that's where how I met you. And then a bunch of you were runners. And they're like, "Oh, come out to a run with us." And as you always say, like, "Oh, Daniel wasn't a runner," or you just said, "Oh, I don't run." And then one thing.
I remember trying to get you to come out for a 6K run, and it was a struggle. So I'm like, out for a run, we're gonna get beer. And you're like, I don't know, we'll see. And yeah, I think it was. That's crazy to think that you went from maybe I'll run 6K with friends to running an ultra marathon. So I think it's an incredible journey. But that's about 5 years ago, I guess. And what between then and now, what changed your mind about running, and what, I guess, what fueled that passion?
I say, it's just like the com now over time is the community that has like the community that has been built, the people I've gotten known over time, the friendships I've made. At the same time, just like is before I was active, but not as active as now, I say. And it is like something that makes me feel good. And just moving. And at the same time, it comes to the social aspect, especially with social runs that sometimes that happens. It's like two and two that goes together. But yeah, over time, say I have continued running partly because it just makes me feel good physically. And at the same time, it's something that I just continue to, I guess, enjoy at times, especially since, not every run is ideal or doesn't go to plan.
Yeah, I guess because, like I said, we met at the gym, and I already knew that you're a bit of an addict when it comes to working out, but not running, I guess. I guess it kind of translated to a different kind of activity now, but it makes sense. So do you feel that you like running with people more than running solo then?
I say it's a balance. Yeah, sometimes it depends on scheduling, but it's a balance, a bit of both. Definitely it's great when I can organize like a social run and have people come out, especially with people maybe it's their first time doing trail running or they're just kind of new to running.
So you also lead trail runs now. So other than running by yourself, I know you organize trail runs with the ice cream donut and ice cream. Sorry, that right now, ice cream donut run club. So is that when did that start? I think that started this year. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so then I lead trail runs once a month, every third Sunday of the month. And usually that will be in like Burnaby Mountain or North Van, so it alternates. It's just a great way to bring community together and other people and kind of introduce people to trail running too. And it's funny to think about how I guess maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I was always trying to navigate the trails, and now I'm like leading maybe a group of 20 people on the trails.
Yeah, I think that's a funny story because I think what started, I guess you could say, what started this new trail running group is what sets it apart from regular trail. Obviously, I don't want to bash any other trail running groups, but what sets it apart from regular trail running groups, you could say.
I just find for when I plan the route, I always try to make it so few people feel comfortable because I know trail running can be intimidating, especially when it's new or just the terrain and elevation gain that comes with it. So we'll try to keep it to trails that maybe are just friendly or a little bit more friendlier. and running up or going down, and just taking our time. That's why usually I'll keep the distance to around 10 kilometers, so people don't feel like, or we don't as a group don't feel like we're rushed to complete the run or have to move to complete the run in 2 hours.
And you don't lose people, I guess.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, I think I've been through that scenario before, where we joined some faster trail running groups and we couldn't keep up, and then we end up being lost in the trails. And I think that's a big challenge for new trail runners. And like, I think both you and I started as road runners, and I think there's a big difference there. I mean, did you feel that you were able to adapt from the roads to trails, or do you feel that you took away a lot of the challenges that you had and you applied that to the leading the trail runs with the Ice Cream Donut Run Club?
I say, like, yeah, adapting to the trails, I felt like was a pretty easy transition because I already did some hiking. It was just being able to move quickly, especially on the downhills, that took some time to get used to. And over time was just getting out for more runs, getting more comfortable on the trails too. That this helped me to gain some comfortability. At the same time, just the learning about the trail network helped to go a long way and getting familiar with the routes and everything that comes with it.
Do you feel that anyone can be a trail runner? I know you probably hear all the time from new runners about how they're scared about twisting an ankle or getting lost. Like, do you feel that is what's the best way for a new trail runner?
I think everybody can definitely, if you're interested in it and you want to, definitely you can become a trail runner or try it out. And the trail running looks so different in so many different places. So keep in mind, typically in Vancouver and North Van, it's more rooty and rocky, a little bit sometimes more technical terrain, but maybe in some other parts of the world, it's a little bit more just like a dirt trail. And that may be trail running in other places. So, yeah, in all parts of the world, trail running looks so different in the terrain and how much elevation gain you're going to get. And I say the best way for people to start, maybe come out to Ice Cream Donut Run Club run, or just to join even any local run as in your area. I find that's a great way to get in. Introduced to trail running and to maybe the trails in your area, and to the trail running community.
Okay, I'll make sure to include that link so people can join and they'll get the, I guess, event posting for the next run. Do you have one already organized that's coming up?
Not yet, but usually, well, I guess we'll be planning one soon for September. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think people might be interested, and I've been to a few and they're always fun. I like the North Vancouver ones to get away sometimes, but Burnaby's nice. Burnaby always a nice place to run. I think it's beginner friendly, and I think all the runs are beginner friendly. So Daniel's a great host for if you want to join, and I think there's enough people that show up that you probably meet a friend or two. So that's another perk of, I guess, joining a run group. Okay, so in terms of training for your next race, are you going to take a break for now, or do you have any goals?
I think at the moment I'll take a break, especially after doing the multi grind and the Squamish 50. And this training itself is a big commitment. And maybe take sometimes time away from other things you may want to do or adventures you want to do. So definitely just give the body a little bit of a break, but I look forward to doing probably some adventures in the mountains or on the trails, and not having to think too much about trying to get a run in or always having to hit a certain amount of mileage per week, just to give like the body a break, like physically, but at the same time mentally too.
I guess sometimes it's nice not to have the structure. of a training plan, and you just want to just have fun and enjoy the time, I guess, in the trails as hiking or running, like you mentioned. So in you're always the one who reminds me that rest is important. How many times do you normally run a week if you weren't training for a race?
So if I was training for a race, I would typically maybe do like 4 or 5 times a week, and try to throw some strength training in. And then when I'm not training, I just kind of go by, how I'm feeling or what's going on. Try to mix other things in too, just to give my body a variety. And then I say give, the body a bit of a break from training, even though training can definitely provide some great structure and routine.
And I guess my last question, I'll wrap this up. I know you probably want to get some rest and probably have some late lunch. In terms of your run, I know you've been running since 2017. Have you encountered any injuries or any struggles, either mentally or physically? And if you did, how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so definitely, I think as every runner does, you always learn so much about your body and how much you essentially can take on for like running or the mileage that you build on. But yeah, definitely encountered injuries. Remember, like early on, encountering a few injuries. And over the years, just learning about more about, I guess, about how hard you're pushing yourself. And just being mindful of the caseload or the running mileage you're doing, to be aware about what your body can handle, and trying to keep the right longer runs is at an easy and comfortable pace. That's what I learned a lot about.
Oh, thank you for sharing, I guess, your running journey with us. And I loved hearing about Squamish. And like I said, you did really well. So that's a testament to the wisdom you have gained in the last 5 years. And obviously, that shows that you know what you're talking about. So thank you for your time. And I hope that I can join you in the trails again very soon. That'll be very fun. And we'll be chatting again very soon. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of this podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give me a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Happy running!